I have a family commitment I have to leave prior to the surgery. If there is conversation that goes over, I'm not trying to run anybody out. I'll take care of it. I'll let me know. But welcome to construction meeting, pre-construction meeting for Charleston Pike, County Road 22. PID 106544, project number 250063. This is a bridge replacement, involves realignment over CSX Transportation Railroad. Contractor is Beaver Excavating. My name is Zach Schoff, I'll be the air engineer. Colton here will be your project engineer, and Shane will be your inspector. Designer record, we have Carpenter Marty. Chris Pridemore was the project manager for District 9. And for Beaver, I have Ryan Pepper as the project manager and Jimmy Howe as the superintendent. Shelley as doing your asphalt work, and we do have Ross County Engineer as a local agency. So the project was awarded. We got a signed contract in February. Our completion date is September 1st of next year. I don't believe there's an interim completion date. Workers' comp is good till November this year, so make sure you get that renewal so there is in. And I know you said scheduled this morning, but I have not had a chance to open it yet. So what's your estimated begin date?
May 1st. So.
And your normal hours of work?
4 10s, 40 hours.
Monday, Thursday then?
Yeah.
What time are you going to start typically?
7.
7.
7 to 5?
7 to 5.
And we will have monthly progress meetings. I'll set up the first one for June 1st, or thereabout, depending on the calendar. And then we'll just reoccur every month. So you're not pre-qualified to do item 36 guardrail, 37 fence, 10 paving, 42 siding, 45 hammer markings, 7 ceiling concrete surfaces, 24 structural steel erection, 37 fence, 43 highway lighting, for a total of 26% of work. Does that sound accurate?
Yep.
And your subs represent all that work?
Yep.
Okay. CCO and certified payroll, Sabrina.
First of all, who is with Beaver so I know you guys? Okay. I'm the contractor compliance officer for District 9. I've worked with Beaver Excavating before because I worked up in District 11, so I'm familiar. But just want to remind you that certified payrolls are due weekly for weeks worked, including all the subcontractors. And if they're not submitted timely, we will hold estimates. All apprentices on the project need to have the apprentice certificate with the payroll, or they will be due journeyman wages. I will email the bulletin board posters and wage rates. Do you want me to email those to Gabby, or is there someone particular?
You can email to Gabby. She's actually retiring in 2 weeks.
Right.
So Victoria, you'll see her name come across.
Okay.
She'll be
okay.
Taking over her role. So you can email them to Gabby, though.
Okay. Just so you have them.
Yep.
Just make sure that that's erected the first day of work. And then it should remain in place until all punch list items are complete. And then I have Vermilion Tree Company, or Vermilion Tree and Land Clearing Service. They were approved when I looked this up. I don't know if they were approved on there yet.
Yeah, they're on there.
Okay, they're approved. And then for DBEs, to meet the 10% goal, I have Armstrong Steel Erectors, Cuyahoga Fence, DHDC Engineering Consulting Services. With DHDC, I don't usually handle the consultants, but just make sure you have invoices and that kind of information available for the consultant manager upstairs. And just reminder that if the contract amount changes, that will reflect the DBE total amount as well. And if you're not anticipating on using any trucking, which is your name Nick? Somebody Nick? Nick. Okay, so it was you and Gabby that called me
Yes.
a couple weeks ago and said that you might be using some DBE trucking.
We will be.
Okay. Then I'll need that master trucking log before they get started on the project. Also, Victoria, she's the one that's gonna, she's doing the payrolls now.
Yes, yep.
Because it used to be, can't think of her name right now, but there was a different person. And then for prompt payments, that's Amanda Hammond.
Yep, yep.
Okay. I will get all this information sent over, and if you have any questions or anything, my name will and email will be going around on this. You'll get a copy of the sign-in sheet. So, thank you.
Thanks, Maria. Real estate, no restrictions relative to entry since all works on newly acquired right-of-way. Utilities, Rodney?
Okay, so just a reminder, utility contacts are found in the general notes section of the plans. And utility companies' relocation plans are available upon request. I did invite the utilities to attend that are affected with this project. I do have a representative from AEP, and I have representatives from the water company. So thanks for being here, appreciate it. Okay, we'll start with the electric. They have facilities that are going to be relocated throughout the project so that their facilities do not conflict with the construction. Right now, AEP has about 90% of their work complete. They have another section of wrecking some line out that needs to be finished up. There's nothing right now that's delaying them from getting anything done. And they're on target for their, actually they're going to, it's going to end up extending a little bit past the April 1st date. Do you have anything to add?
No, I think it'll be a little bit, but we're not, I don't think we're going to be slowing anybody down. We're out of the way. And just kind of running behind on this.
Okay.
But as far as like that relocation where the main work's going on, I mean, we got to build some line from another circuit down. But we should be on that here really soon.
Okay. Any questions for AEP?
Will you be clear May 1st?
That's the goal, but I don't think so, to be honest.
So, you know, in discussions with AEP Globe Fiber and Charter Communication, there's two poles that's being wrecked out that Charter and Globe Fiber are going to attach to. We looked at that today when we discussed everything, and there's plenty of clearance for both of them to be able to connect to the poles without the AEP lines being off of it. So they can go ahead with their portion of that work, which shouldn't delay them any. However, like I said, with the AEP side of it, it doesn't affect the project, but they're doing a reconductor to be able to backfeed Schrader Road, what was normally fed from Charleston Pike out.
Yeah, we couldn't get any right away from the landowners. He owns both sides of the bridge, and no big deal. We're gonna build a backfeed from another circuit, so it's been a process, but it is what it is.
So we'll coordinate between the three utilities and be sure to keep you posted on everything that we know. All right, so communications, we'll go to Charter Communications. They also have facilities that are going to be relocated throughout the project, so it doesn't conflict with it. Charter, you know, shouldn't have anything. Actually, Charter does not have anything right now outstanding that's going to delay with their work. They're, per the utility note, going to be done 30 days after AEP is complete. But once again, we are able to coordinate with them to be able to let them go ahead with their work. So they're on schedule to be done April 30th, 2025. And there's nobody here representing Charter. So any questions on the Charter relocation?
And they have the pole crossings at the new bridge, correct?
Everybody, AEP is, absolutely. Glow Fiber, Charter, and AEP, all three will be going underground where the bridge is.
And that will be done.
And AEP is complete on that section. Charter has their pipe in place. I don't know if it's proper yet. And I believe Glow Fiber also has their pipe in place.
Yeah. Yep. So that'll all
be done. It'll be complete, yep. Globe Fiber, same as Charter Communications. They've got facilities that are going to be relocated to not conflict with construction. They don't have anything either that's restricting them as we speak, and they're on target to be done May 30th, 2025. Any questions on the Glo Fiber? Okay, communications. There's two communications that's in the railroad right-of-way. One is Mox Networks. They own and operate existing underground fiber optic telecommunication facilities within the project construction limits. In the existing railroad right-of-way, the existing underground fiber optic telecommunication facility will remain in place and active during project construction and is not to be disturbed. They are asking that the general contractors or the project contractors shall contact Elect General Contractors, Inc., representative of Mox Networks, LLC, a minimum of 2 weeks prior to the start of the construction to schedule and conduct a pre-construction site meeting. Sprint Communications, they're now called Cogent Communications. They own and operate existing underground fiber optic telecommunication facilities within the project construction limits and in the existing railroad right-of-way. The existing underground fiber optic telecommunication facilities will remain in place and active during the project construction and are not to be disturbed. And I have a contact for them that I'm going to pass to you. I advise when you schedule the meeting with Mox to go ahead and get them to meet with you too. Water Company. Ross County Water Company has facilities that will be relocated through the project, so the facilities do not conflict with construction. They have nothing outstanding right now that will slow them down from getting their work done, and they are on target to be done June 1st, 2025. Anything you want to add?
Yeah, the 8-inch we've already started on, if you guys went out there. If the weather hadn't hit, we'd probably had it relocated in chance this week, first part of next. The only delay that we have right now is part of the JCPE for the other side. We've got part of it, but not the other. That's set up to do in two separate bores, one of them being right there with the temporary drive. The new temporary easement for the drive to be constructed will be at that point. But don't see us pushing past the date of June 1st, and we will be below your proposed cut before the fill and up the hill and stuff there. We'll plan on being a couple feet down. We'll kind of trace where it's at so we can get you an approximate depth on that for that's in. One thing we may have to watch is if you are pulling the whole tree out or anything to that point, or that, didn't know anything looking at, not be too far.
Thank you. Appreciate it. Any questions for Ross County Water Company or on the relocation plan? Okay, that's all I have.
Thanks, sir. Fiber optic. Derek, did Charlie mention anything to you about the fiber optic? He was telling me on the phone that one of them was concerned about the bridge demo.
So I gave it to Rob.
Okay, he's got it.
Yeah, Charlie had talked to me about Cogent being concerned about one of the supports of the bridge. Being right there where their cable is, according to the measurements that we took, they're about 10 feet away, and Mox should be about 20 feet away. So that's probably why it's important that they want to do a site meeting before the construction.
Asset management, not an issue on this because it's local work. Environmental, Brandon?
Yeah, so I've got two environmental commitments. It's my understanding after talking with Charlie the trees are already down. All right, good, so we don't need to touch on that. The other one is a little unorthodox. I've never come across it before, but the commitment reads, the project will minimize emissions while under construction by having the project traffic plans include detours and strategic construction timing, for example, night work, to include moving traffic through the area, reduce backups to the traveling public to the extent possible. ODOT will seek to set up active construction areas, staging areas, and material transfer sites in a way that reduces standing waiting times for equipment. Any questions on that? Like I said, it's kind of unorthodox. I talked to our air contact in central office. They basically said, there's no parameters we have to meet. We just have to make a good faith effort.
Written plan, you want them, some type of written plan? How do you?
No.
Okay.
That was That was all they said, just make a good faith effort. Like I said, kind of unorthodox. First time I've come across it, there's no parameters or goals or anything like that we have to meet. Okay. Just try to reduce waiting time and standing around, if that makes sense.
We can do that.
I know you will. We'll go over that.
That all you have,
Mary? That's all I got, yeah.
Wonderful. Thank you. Public relations. Should there be a claim? You said you'd be the point of contact, Ryan?
Yep.
All right. I'll fill this in after the meeting. And before we move on, I'm going to bring up Railroad. Mr. Frank, would you like to touch on that?
Yeah. Thanks. So we kind of briefly discussed this during the Vermilion tree service clearing when we were on site back in February, but for those who weren't there, this probably is going to be brand new. For those who were there, I apologize, this is going to be something repetitive, but I introduced myself. I'm Chris Frank. I'm here on behalf of CSX Transportation. I am your point of contact, so any kind of submittals, coordination, flagging requests, scheduling, anything related to the railroad will come through me. Please do not reach out to anyone within CSX. That's why they pay me the big bucks to be here to be on their behalf. Biggest thing for working around the railroad is safety. That's one of the reasons why they have a face-to-face railroad pre-con meeting or have us represented at face-to-face, is to stress the importance of working safely around the railroad tracks. The railroad tries to go injury-free each year, but of course, that only complies when everyone's compliant with the rules and following all the safety regulations as well as federal and the railroads. So key things on engineering critical rules. This is now the pre-con package. This is on section 3.1. Railway worker protection. Y'all are not considered railway workers. You're not doing work on the track, but the only reason we bring this up is that the flagger is a railway worker. He is providing protection for she. Providing protection while you're out there working. So when they're talking about job ratings and they're talking about your track protection and everything, that's what they're doing to prevent trains from keeping you all away from trains. So please participate in those job briefings. Those are essential to make sure everyone's aware of the red zones, when trains are coming through, what type of protection, who has control of that protection. Operating on-track equipment, that should be you, but the railroad will be having on-track equipment periodically going through this area. It is the start of the construction season for the railroad as well. They have construction projects. They will be doing track work through this area. I don't know the schedule at this time, but I know that when they were doing the tree clearing, they were moving a ballast train through in order for work. So you'll see on-track equipment more than likely coming through that work area, so please keep that in mind. Operators are required to use designated seat belts when operating equipment. When we're getting into the actual bridge construction and erection, we're working up on the deck, we will need a fall protection plan in place, either horizontal lines, vertical lifelines, retrieval plans, and everything in order to be compliant with OSHA and working over the railroad tracks. Oh, that's all your hand. Yeah. Okay. Only follow track when your duties require it. There will be times when we'll need to be near the track within 25 feet. Please coordinate that with the flagger so that way they know when the trains can come through. Whenever there is a train coming through, all work is to be halted, all equipment powered down, everything suspended until that train is cleared the works area and you got confirmation from the flagger that area is clear and you can resume work. That's not only a CSX safety rule, but that also is federal. Whenever there is any work being done within underneath loads, make sure we're doing, have tag lines as required, and make sure everyone's understanding the procedures during any lifting or any kind of operations. The Safeway manual is also attached in here. We will go over some of those highlighted rules, but it's going to be somewhat repetitive because I didn't touch on them. But again, this is to stress the importance of working safely around the railroad tracks. Key thing is the proper PPE, steel-toed boots, high visibility shield, vest, safety glasses, clear ones when you're working at night, dark ones are permitted when working in, during the day. They should be minimal scratches, and the person should be able to see through them. If they don't look like you can see anything beyond the hands, please discard them and get new ones. Hard hats are required as well. No loose-fitting clothing. The railroad does not permit wedding rings, even the ENSCO or the plastic ones, so please return all your workers when they're in the railroad right away. Just stow those wedding rings in their pocket or in their vehicle and don't have it where the flagger can see it or anyone with the railroad.
Because of the significance of this project, there would be periodic visits from CSX personnel that could come out, and the last thing you want is them to come out and shake down the work because we're not following their rules. Again, we touched about fall protection. Just submit your fall protection plan if you already have one in place for review and confirm compliance with OSHA. You're not required to have 214 fall protection because you're not working on a railroad bridge. So the only requirements you would need is those that are outlined in OSHA. Reporting injuries or incidents. There is a personal injury incident form that was provided in the pre-con package. If there is an incident, please report that to the on-site representative and myself immediately. Provide as much details as you can on the incident. Fill out that form within 12 hours and get that to me because that will need to be uploaded and reported on CSX. They not only report their internal injuries, but they also report contractor injuries that took place within and adjacent to the railroad's right-of-way. Touch about fall protection. Construction submission criteria. There's going to be a number of submittals associated with this project. Need to be a track monitoring plan because of the fact that the piles are going inside the influence zone, so we are going to be disturbing the railroad's track structure. We're going to need an erection plan. We'll need a demo plan for the existing structure. So as soon as you have those submittals ready, proceed to submit those for review. We do try our best to turn them around within 30 days of receipt. Depending on the level and detail of the submittal, it can take a little longer. I'm going to repeat this, but we're getting into construction season. Submittals are coming in, so they will be reviewed in the order in which they were submitted. Again, if you got questions or you need me to want to follow up, don't hesitate to reach out, but more than likely a response is going to be, it's in our queue. We will get you responses in a timely manner. The insurance was approved. That was approved on 3/27/25. The Schedule I was received on Monday, and that was archived with CSX on Monday, 3/31. Material storage is prohibited without the railroad's permission, and more than likely we're not going to be storing anything on the railroad's right of way just because of the close clearances and everything that is down track level. If there is a spill, please report that. I don't have a form, but please report it. Provide as much details. Let me know so that way we can correspond with CSX Environmental and see how they want to handle it, because they do have approved sites for proper disposal for soils and spoils within the railroad's right-of-way. They do try to be a good advocate to the environment, and they have procedures in place for default. There's not going to be a temporary at-grade crossing for this project. If you get a chance, I'll need your list of subcontractors, all the primary contractors' contact information, who's going to be on site working on the project, and then a schedule, just so that way I share that information with the railroad, so that way they know who's involved with the project, so then that way if they don't see someone from Beaver Excavating, but there's some subcontractor working out there, then they're aware of like what subcontractor that is and who the contact person if there's an incident or some concern or issues. I'm not sure we're going to be installing orange safety fencing, but if so, we do have that posted at least 25 feet from the center line of track. If there's going to be work performed at least 25 feet from the track, that's not got the potential file. Potential file is defined in the public projects manual under the construction submission criteria. I won't go through all of that, but if it looks like you're going to have a potential file, then we are going to require a flagger or possibly an FCI, which is a flagging construction inspector. That's usually a third party that comes out and provides flagging services. The only thing that they can do is make sure no people or equipment gets near the file of the track. They cannot get track protection. They cannot get communicate with trains. They're there to make sure that you're not going to go anywhere near the track and jeopardize safe train operations. I know there's a lot of utilities that corresponding with this project. We didn't review any of the utility submittals or plans for this project for the relocation. All that will need to go through the CSX Real Estate Corridor Occupancy Services group and should be submitted through their property portal. If you identify that this is associated with this project, more than likely they will assign that project to Benish, so that way we handle, so that way you're not dealing with someone else and everything's staying fluid with one engineering consultant. I can't remember if we've received all of your SEGA action plans, so please get those in, submitted, and reviewed. The flag and coordination form was provided in the pre-con package as well as in the Word document. When you're ready for scheduling for flagger, please submit that. If you are working 410s, make sure to identify that on the request, because I've had people say they're going to work 410s, but then they put Friday on there as well. So because of the duration of the project, and more than likely this will be a long-term flagger, then they will bid this out. And then they are obligated and awarded based off of what we provide them. So if they are guaranteed 5 days, they are going to be flagging 5 days. So I want to make sure we're not getting charged extra flagging days against the project, and then we're losing money in the budget. Because once they get that contract and it's been bid out, we can't change it. Then we have to cancel it, and then all of a sudden you're going to go through the whole process again. And right now I can tell you we are having issues with flaggers. There's issues with equipment, there's issues with vehicles, there's issues with manpower. There are projects going on, so I cannot guarantee that when you submit the flagging request that you're going to get the flagger on the days that you requested. We will do our best, but the railroad's priority is to keep trains moving safely. And so right now this project does not move trains safely, so they got to prioritize. And so that's where they got production units on property. It's all hands on deck. There's people moving materials around, protecting crossings, ensuring equipment's getting from one point A to point B, moving in the clear. So this is a single track area for the most part. So if there's equipment, railroad equipment on property on the tracks, then it's going to take a little longer for them to move out in the clear. So I'm just being upfront with you and being transparent, because like I said, I've got one project in Columbus right now and their flagging has been delayed for 3 months. That's how, and the reason being is the CSX is working on 35 brand new miles of track. So
what kind of lead time do we need then? Because we're starting in about a month.
You need at least 30 days. If it's a long-term flagging request, that flagger, they bid that out 30 days in advance. That's outlined in the coordination notes on the plans. That's outlined in the public projects manual. So as soon as you know when you're going to need a flagger, that's when you need to submit it. And again, you only need a flagger if you have the potential to file. If you're 100 feet from the way from the center line of track, you have no potential to file. Once you get in within 50 feet and you've got equipment that can be extended 60 feet, you have the potential to file. If you got people that's walking within 25 feet center line of track that can fall and come near the tracks, you have the potential to file. That's outlined in the public projects manual. I would highly suggest read that and make sure you understand what that is. If you got questions, I'm happy to help out. So that's all I have from a railroad perspective, on railroad coordination, flagging coordination, submittal, and construction criteria. Any questions or anything I need to revisit and explain?
There's some waste material on this job coming from railroad right away. There's some specific notes on this that it needs tested and approved to leave the site.
Okay.
By the railroad. I don't know how you want to handle it.
I will get you. Daniel Dyer is the environmental specialist for this area. I'll get you his contact information, cell phone, mobile, email. He will advise that that material needs to be tested. They might deem that it's safe to spread along the railroad's right of way, wherever the track supervisor deems appropriate, or what approved facility needs to be taken to. So okay. I will work on getting, I'll get you that contact information this week.
You want to have an on-site meeting before they start?
That's what I heard. Would you like to schedule that, or you want me to?
This is the meeting, so I mean, this satisfies all the requirements. That's why I'm here. So I think the only reason we did the on-site for Vermilion was because that was convenient, just due to the timing and everything.
Okay.
So as long as we have a pre-con meeting face to face, doesn't matter where it's at, then we satisfy the railroad's request.
We'll nail down a date when we'll actually get in the year right away. I mean, May start is getting into ENS and stripping and stuff like that. I don't know if we'll really be encroaching on right away just then. But.
And if you got questions, John Gilbert will be the site inspector for this project. He's got a number of years experience. He's an NS bridge person, NS track person. He's worked on a number of CSX projects. He's been with Benish for almost 10 years. I mean, the man's got more knowledge than I have in my hand right now. So his contact information is in the pre-con package. Feel free to reach out before you start work if you want to have him meet outside and say, hey, this is what we're doing. Do we need a flag then? He can tell you what needs to be done. He'll make sure you're protected, but he also will make sure that you're doing it right by CSX requirements.
Sounds good.
Anything else?
clear on.
I just know there are several plans Beaver has to submit to Venice for review, so probably the sooner the better, right?
There were
several. It was in that email.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Perfect.
We'll get on.
Some of those will overlap with ours too. Colton and I are going to work on that morning.
Okay.
And typically what my point of view is, because I'm working on a project with them up in on I-490 in Cleveland, I kind of wait for ODOT to say that they don't take an exception, because in that way we're not cross-reviewing it. You have comments, and then you're already submitted back before we provide it. So, and usually y'all turn your reviews around a little bit quicker than we do. So once I see that y'all have a chance to review it, then I send it over to our engineering team. So then that way, if you have comments, then I can advise our engineering team what they're looking for. Like, it, that way we're not cross making the same comments, essentially, doubling up on work, essentially.
Okay. So we're sending some metals, copying them, both of you guys on them, though.
Yeah, so you both get them.
And we should get the safety plans over to you here probably this week.
Okay.
And we're working on those.
And if anyone's got any questions on that, I mean, like I said, I try to give examples when possible, but on that safety action plan, it's a Word document, it's one page. There's like a section two, just hit the key things, like we're going to be doing pier work, we're going to do bridge erection work. Just keep it very cliff notes, like specific tasks. If you know what equipment you're going to have, like not exact detail, but if you're going to have like a front end loader, you're going to have a large excavator, just identify that, because in that way, if anything happens, we need to share with the railroad. They have an idea of what the work's being done and performed within their right of way.
Good?
Good.
Yeah.
Thanks.
Thanks, sir. Maintenance traffic. OMOT must adhere with the OMU TCD and with the plans. Any temporary signals must rest on red, and any flagging operations will require cones throughout the zone. Safety, other than hard hats and safety vests, does contractor require any additional safety apparel or PPE?
Well, that's task working. Gloves, safety glasses.
Glasses, do you require glasses?
Yes.
That's the common one. So.
Yeah, safety glasses. And then gloves would be task oriented.
Okay.
Hard hats and vests.
Got gloves in your truck?
Sure.
All right. All right, 614.03, all vehicles must have 30 strobe lights, LED warning lights, or rotating beacons, and OMU TCD 6D0304. That says anyone in the work zone has to have a reflective vest or shirt. So, any questions on that? And that includes your subs. That's the issue we've had in the past.
Yep.
Okay. Shelly does have e-ticketing, so they probably will use some form of that software. Your CML will need updated whenever material changes or is added, and updated copies are to be placed on the SharePoint project site. And you got your test lab letter prior to the pre-con here. Did you have any material questions at this point in time?
Nope.
Okay. We do get your schedule. We'll review that tomorrow as well. Let me know if we have any comments. What's your subs? We don't need that. Plan to use any non-state haul routes other than Charleston Pike?
No.
Any borrow waste sites being cleared environmentally?
There will be, yeah. We're in the process of that now.
Okay. Keep us in the loop as that progresses.
Yep.
Do you anticipate any beneficial reuse forms?
Towards the end of the project, potentially, yeah.
Just get with Colton and get those completed.
Yep.
And we did get CML this morning. Need the MOT device, manufacturer certification letters. Were those in your submittals?
They were not. I've not worked on them because we've not accounted for any MOT on the job, honestly.
Yeah. RKs, anything, we just need
it. Yeah, we'll work on that. Honestly, I don't think we're anticipating any flagging work until the detour next year, so.
Okay.
We'll work on that with get that over to you. So.
And then did you get your CAD-10 back to Ruby?
Yep. Yep.
Thank you.
Did we get the demo notification without the plan?
Someone sent that over today.
Oh,
so should be able to.
Ask
estimates will be generated every 15 days while work is active. The price for the bond will be released on the first estimate submitted for the project. Any submittals, time extension requests, weather days, or RFIs, please send to Colton and myself. Contract documents can be found online. These links are in the agenda. Will be shared with everybody to sign in at the conclusion of our meeting here. We did have one addendum. Are you familiar with what that is?
Not off the top of my head.
Well, hopefully the conform set account for it. We'll follow up on that. We have the 800 spec dated 7/19/24. And a couple of things we'd like to highlight in the specs. 10505, provide constant attention necessary to progress work according to contract documents. 10802G, disputes and administrative claims. Do you guys have any questions at this time on that process?
Nope.
And changes in actual work, we will have contract limits of $100,000 on this project. Resumes, we got 832, products made in the United States. General discussion. I saw it up there somewhere, and I must have skipped over it. The SWIFT plan, do you have a designer for that?
Coil.
Okay, yeah.
They're working on it. They're about finalized. We should have the next week or two, I would say.
Yeah. Oh, it's environmental time.
SWIFT. That addendum is moving. It's on there.
On to general discussion. Did you guys have any questions at this time on plans or anything else?
I'd say no. We had discussions about Cheyenne Sam's work at some point. Heard some ramp closures this summer. Some discussions on site when those are all occurring.
Yeah, yeah, we'll set up a separate meeting for that.
Okay. You'll be done, right? Mainstream, you'll all be done by then.
That all I need to get started.
Colton's a project engineer on my thoughts.
Yeah.
So
we could talk about that later.
Yeah. We'll stay on the loop on that.
We heard all four ramps are closing right in the middle.
I want them to close it all at once and be done with it. They want to let me.
I don't blame you.
We're going to do two at a time, so we'll have some access.
All right, Chris, did you have anything to add?
No, I'm good.
Anyone else in the room got anything they questions, comments, concerns?
As of now, all the RFIs have been answered, correct? Or yes?
Correct.
Okay. And then the location of that second gate that got
resolved.
Figured, yeah,
figured it's out. In. Okay. I think we're good to go.
Okay.
Yep.
Did the county have anything to add?
I don't know of any concerns right now.
Charlie must have kept those to himself.
Don't worry about it.
All right. Should we have a dispute on the project, I would represent Agat and County. Who would I deal with?
Self.
We can't resolve it. It goes to Paul. Who does he deal with? It can be you all three times.
Myself. And then Brian's probably executive.
Brian.
Brian Francis.
Okay, if there's nothing else, last chance. Meeting adjourned. Thank you, everybody.
Get your family back.